Support for this podcast comes from the patrons at patreon.com/FMLFPL.
Okay! Welcome to the line!
This was...
International break is in, our ranks are out. What's up?
Hey, man, you know, international break, 2 weeks of fucking nightmare weeks of life, but here we are potting. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Oh, okay.
It's a good time in my life to be very balls deep in the shit with work, so I don't have to, like, I haven't listened to pods, I haven't even finished Match of the Days, I haven't looked at my fucking rank, because it's all bad. So I don't want to look at it. So it's a good time to be distracted. But here we are potting, so we're going to dive in, I guess.
Yeah, so basically you're just an absolute authority on this game week and what to do.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
All right. I
have shower thoughts.
Oh, you know.
So I got not a lot of points, as usual. I have 57 points, which seems actually fine. Like top 10K net average, 62.7. Overall net average, 50.3. And I got a red arrow. I still went down another 20K places. I saved, which is good. So, I mean, there's minus a lot of points in my future on a big hit. That's just going to happen. But it's the same old for me. I mean, no has, no Wolves defender, no Bournemouth attacker. I got a fucking Ward haul off my bench for Trent Zero. Ward's been fantastic addition to my squad.
Oh, I wanted to ask you. Okay. I had Shaw get 0 points, but he didn't sub out.
Get the fuck out of here. I had Hamer 0 points. He didn't sub in for Day. I wish he fucking did, because Day just continues being an absolute trash merchant, fucking hair merchant, goatee merchant. You'd think I get a brace and 2 babs for my captain. I'm doing well and I'm happy, but I still go down 20K places. That's just like how bad I am. I think you included, people on Slack were like sort of mocking me because I was still so depressed even after Laka's haul. But it's just because I knew what was happening. Like, I had 7 points on Saturday, through Saturday, I should say. And then the Laka haul was obviously great, but it just brought me to average. And then when Haz double returned, outscored Laka anyway, it just didn't even, nothing mattered anymore.
You're not giving enough credit to this, because you were like very sad and upset before the Chelsea ball had kicked off.
Oh, yeah, but I knew what was happening.
You got a captain brace. No, but that's bullshit. You know what was happening now that we're potting on Tuesday and Haz got 14 because he just can't stop scoring. But in that moment, you must be just like thrilled that you could get away with murder. Because like, I had nine points.
Like when the goals happened, I was buzzing. You know, everything. That was all great. When it came down to it and everyone always brings up the averages and all that shit while the games are going on, I was just like, oh, okay, I'm just average now. And I don't have my captain left. So like, you know, I did better than Kane cappers, but a lot of Kane cappers have fucking Callum Wilson, Hazard, and Doherty, and they're shredding me this week anyway, you know? So it's just, I couldn't counterbalance the badness of my team. But I mean, Laka had 3 touches in the box, 2 shots, 2 goals, half volley, worldy, you know. I felt great when it was happening. I'm not here to lie about that, but overall my team is just shit, and there's going to be probably minus 8 in the cards for me. No, well, four transfer -8.
Last time you did a -8, it was pretty fucking good. So
yeah, so this -8 is going to be all of the things that I just mentioned and all of my shitty ass players out.
Yeah, I mean, it's at this. I mean, I got 60. I was just barely above you. I had a very small green arrow, but yeah, I mean, I was on Captain Haz. That was the story of my week. I had 2 ones and a 0 in my team, so yeah. it didn't go swimmingly, but a couple cleans, the Kelsey Grammer, Ryan Fraser 6-pointer to keep me up my head above water. As usual, just I am honestly so good at transfers, just immediately transfer in Trent. Such a good move, Robbo out, Trent in. It's uncanny how good the first game of players I transfer and how well they do. Every time. Phenomenal. Every time. But.
But you got Johnny Auto sub in, so it didn't even matter.
Yeah. The right, true. But it's still, you know, just for the bands. It is at the point where not owning has is a bit diabolical.
We
talked about it a couple of weeks. I mean, I brought him in, I mean, maybe like 3 game weeks ago, I think. But you know, you watch the game, and it's just not they're not competitive games when they're playing mid-table and lower teams, really. And I mean, has could have had more. It's just. You know, if you're a competitive player and you're trying to do well, it's just a little bit silly to not own him at this point, probably. So, I mean, I'm sure your minus eight will include getting him in because you're just very hard pressed to cover his points. You know, like Raz is a great option. They're similarly priced right now after Haz has been rising, like skyrocketing price. But, you know, do you want the 50% guy who looks fantastic every game and he's returning every game, or do you want the 3% guy who, you know, is similar-ish outlook, but I don't know. I don't think that's the way to do it.
Yeah, you also want the main man, right? We've been saying that from the beginning with Haz. It's just everything goes through him.
He's not playing in Europe. Never
not playing in
arrest.
Europe. 90 minutes every week. God on bonus. It's every
never
single
at
box.
70. Yeah, it's good. So, yeah, I mean, you know, Haz came in.
His stats are ridiculous this week.
Every game, yeah,
13 touches in the box, 5 shots, 4 in the box, 4 chances created, 3 big chances created. What the fuck?
He's good. He's doing well this year. He's a good guy. And he really, I mean, 14 this week, but. He has 4 double-digit hauls in, 6 starts. So, you know, he's very, very high up there on the captaincy options moving forward. I believe, you know, they're playing at the Bridge against some bad teams coming up. You know, Palace, Everton, game weeks 11 and 12. Those are definitely captainable things. You know, why don't you do the stupid shit that you have to do every week, and then let's get in there.
All right, housekeeping. So shout out to the FML Field Prize League Mug League leader for October so far. Obama out, a.k.a. R2-D2 Archer. So I don't know this person's real name, but you can get the fuck in there. Shout out to the Goal Scorers Challenge League leader so far. Still Magic Mike, typical Magic Mike, but I'm disappointed again because he picks Kane, and that's just a bad job by him. He's falling. And lastly, shout out at the top of the FML Field Public League, Wijnaldum Leviosa, a.k.a. Guy Guy. I love that Lord of the Rings reference right there. It's just great.
Okay. Good job by you.
All right. So, I mean, is there anything else to even say about Haz, or do we just move on?
I think it's, I don't know if we have questions about this, but I think it's just an interesting talking point with relation to how off the boil Salah's been, and you know, and how well Raz has been playing. In fairness, it's you know, before when we were kind of not looking at Haz as a captaincy option, it was a little bit more sketchy to go there if you're going to go without Salah. But you know, with Salah, it's a tricky one to tell because the stats are still pretty decent, and has basically a similar opening set of 8 as he did last year, where he was, you know, missing a lot of big chances, but the underlying stats were still good. But he's going to give someone a hiding soon. You know it's coming, and the fixtures are getting a little easier, and this rough run of a lot of games and not a lot of days is behind them after this international break. So maybe it's a little better, more of an important talking point to who to captain if we're still facing this issue, you know, in a couple weeks' time, if Salah still isn't banging him in. But you know, I'm still of the opinion that both is probably the way to go. What do you think?
Yeah, strong agree. I mean, you can't understate the playing a match, a very, very competitive match every 3 days, you know, with PSG and Napoli as the Champions League ties, where all, like, you know, other guys are resting like Haz. And then you just look at in the league, the fixtures have been City, Chelsea, Southampton, where he scored and should have probably had a brace with the second one disallowed, and Spurs. You know, it's like, we're not panicking last season if he doesn't score against 3 of the top 5 teams in the league, you know?
The only difference is he's $4 million more this year.
Yeah, right, exactly. But then you look at what's coming up, and it's like, I totally agree with you. I mean, it's just there's going to be a Hattie in one of these games, you know, yeah. maybe one, more than one.
I would not have expected one goal in these last four at all.
No, of course I'm surprised by it. Based off of last year, no way.
Yeah. The thing that's interesting now, you know, we have so many people who went to Kane and they got rid of Salah to fund it. And now people, I'm sure, are like, oh, it hasn't looked good. Maybe I'll wait and see. So that gives us a little bit of an edge, I think, because, you know, we have him. This is probably going to be maybe, unless he gets injured, the lowest percentage ownership that he'll have all season.
Yes.
So we have a window here against a lot of the people that have been doing well, because if you're doing well, you probably haven't had Salah because he's been fucking awful. Then we have a little window here for like 2-ish weeks if he really bangs in these next two games to actually do something decent in our lives for once.
Yeah, at Huddersfield, home Cardiff, we need fucking points.
Yeah.
Should we talk about City also? I mean, so a lot of people are asking about Kuhn and Dan Naylor on Slack. Aguero's stats per minute are still excellent, but at what point does him playing 60 to 65 minutes a game make him worth a downgrade to get Haz or such? Brian Kerwan, if you can only have one of Kuhn, Sterling, or Kev in your team, which would it be? Jaywan, Twitter, Chris Allison on Facebook. Everyone's kind of worried about Kuhn's minutes lately, and everyone's kind of interested in covering City via one of their midfielders, mostly Kev or Raz, instead of covering City with Kuhn, which is, I feel like, what everyone's been doing so far.
Yeah, first of all, regarding Kev, everyone needs to pump the brakes. He hasn't kicked a ball in 2 months. So if he is training and he's got these 2 weeks to train or whatever, he might feature against Burnley, but probably off the bench. But to be purchasing him now before he's played is lunacy. It's just, it goes against every tenet of life of FPL. It's a ridiculous thought.
I remember one of my lessons learned, I don't think it was last season, I think it was 2 seasons ago, was exactly anti this. You know, it was like we grew up, me and you grew up playing like fantasy American sports where being the first one to jump on a player is crucial, like most important thing, because you're the only one who can own it. But in this kind of game where you just don't really get much of a benefit of jumping on Kev before everyone else, the max benefit you get is like he returns versus Burnley and plays 60 minutes or something like that. And then everyone else is going to jump on him and it's not a differential anymore and it doesn't fucking matter that you got him a week early. So the risk is just so, so not worth it.
The risk is he has a 20-minute cameo for 1 point. You just spent like a hit or you spent a transfer on another premium asset who's fit.
Yeah, the risk is he doesn't start for a month.
Yeah, and he's still going to be a differential for a while. I mean, it's going to take people time and weeks to shift him in. You know, he's not the kind of player that will probably like come in and get brace, like, you know, all right, these double-digit hauls. Right. He trickles, you know, with his BAPs and his one return and whatever. So that's one thing with Kev. So everyone needs to just relax with Kevin. But I think the minutes standpoint from Kuhn is very... It's been a long run of him. He hasn't played 90 since game week 4, and, you know, Pep said his foot's bothering him. If he gets another 60-minute sub after the 2-week break, then I'm going to start really being worried because...
Yeah, because he's like, just going to be chilling for 2 weeks.
Yeah. I mean, if that's not enough to get him up to speed to be able to play 90 or 80 or whatever, then it's a tough one because the main reason why I am saying this is, I love Kuhn more than anything of life, but Locke is 1.5 million cheaper playing 90 every week and Arsenal are scoring for absolute fun. So that seems like 1.5 million save. That makes sense. If Kuhn is not a captaincy option, he's in no way, shape, or form a captaincy option playing 2/3 of a game. It's ridiculous to captain him. And I mean, it's just, that's a ridiculous thing. You'll never want to captain a player when you know they can't play 90 minutes.
You never want to own a player that costs 11 million if you're never going to captain the player. So that's the issue.
Exactly. So, I mean, for me right now, I would prefer to have Raz because he's fit. Probably Kuhn's second, and then Kevin in a 5, not even in the conversation yet. But I do like an eye towards Kevin in the near term because, you know, he's similar like Eriksen, not this year, but of years past. It was kind of like our lesson learned from last season was get Kevin in when he's fit and just hold him forever because he returns between 5 and 10 points pretty much every game. and he's the most nailed on midfield asset. I think it's going to, if you still are clinging to Bernardo Silva, definitely time to ship him out, because that's probably someone who's going to start getting rotated when Kevin comes back, which should be very soon.
Both Silvas are probably, like, it's a coin flip every week.
Yeah, I mean, we know in the past that Kevin plays every game when he's fit. I mean, Pep rides him hard. Yep. And, you know, after he's already having 2 months off his legs, then I can't believe if he gets fit that Pep's not going to ride him for the rest of the season. You know, he already missed out on 15 games or whatever, 10, 12 games or whatever they played already. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but this, you know, I mean, I think David Silva is just, I still have him, and he's on the absolute shortest list. He's probably my biggest problem.
Yeah, it's just tough because, I mean, I use that word coverage that we usually, you know, throw that by the wayside because it's sort of bullshit most of the time. But in the case of City, arguably the best team in Europe, not just the Prem, it really feels foolish to just be like, I'm not going to have a City player, because, like, and we'll get to my actual transfers later, and I probably won't actually make any transfers for 2 weeks, but Kun is someone where I was like, maybe Kun is the spot where I'll make money for Haz and money, blah, blah, blah. And then when I moved everything around, I had no City players, and I was just like, this is stupid. Like, they're City. Not having another players is ridiculous. They can clean any week and they can score 5 any week. And it seems like a bad job to not have any other players. So it does become a thing of coverage where it feels like you kind of need one of these guys. So, yeah, I mean, if Kev comes back soon, he's going to be the cheapest and the most nailed. And that's usually a good combo.
Yeah, but the difference between coverage, though, is also looking at these players in their own right. Like, this is why I was talking about Bernardo Silva as a coverage pick, because when you look at him individually and you stack him against, you know, the Madisons and the Richarlisons of the world, yeah, in and around his price bracket, to me, he just pales in comparison. But, you know, there's no 11 million or above or in that region. You know, when you stack Kun against Kane and Aub, it's not, or Lukaku, you know, he's the best option, period. He's playing 60 minutes, giving that caveat, you know, he's not playing 90, but if he's playing 90 minutes, there's no competition there. He's just the best individual option there. Raz, right, you know, a little bit questionable when you're looking with Hazard. He's probably not as good as Hazard. With Mo, you know, not, you know, I don't know about that conversation, but, you know, Raz is also a very good option in his own right. So, you know, looking at it from that, but also going on notice is the defense has been extremely stout. I mean, they haven't, they're
like, just like last year, they just dominate. Yeah.
They're like 4 cleans on the bounce. Yeah, they have 4 cleans on the bounce. Mendy just came back, and, you know, that's also just a good. Walker's got a bunch of points. Laporte looks great. He's under 6. I mean, that's also a really good place to invest
for
City.
Laporte was incredible against Liverpool.
He was so good. Yeah. So, you know, we talked about Liverpool last week a little bit more than City, just because their run's getting a lot better. But it's similar where, you know, Liverpool and Man City both have phenomenal attacks, also very good defenses. Liverpool's defense is much better than City's, but the attacking options on both those teams are at a premium price bracket. So the way to invest and to get 3 players may be 1 attacker and 2 defenders. You know, you can have, you know, Mo and Kun and double defense, and you're going to be getting points, you know, a lot of points. So it's also something to think about.
Yeah, that is a lot of points. I mean, Steve on Slack said a lot of people are starting to think premium defenders aren't worth the extra million. I just thought of this question when you said that. I suspect just because they haven't assisted for a few weeks. What are your thoughts? I mean, there are cheaper defenses that are coming through right now. And while I agree that that's probably the best way to get 3 Liverpool, 3 City, maybe it's not worth getting 3 Liverpool, 3 City if you can save an extra million on fucking Doherty, who's, you know, more attacking than Rabo and Mendy are anyway, you know, like something like that. And Wolves are keeping cleans.
Yeah. Yeah, but like, you have 2 5 million Liverpool defenders that you could purchase.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you can get Laporte at under 6. You got a goalie at under 6. That's not a ton of money. So
yeah, that's true.
I mean, we don't have like 7 million Alonzos, and that's like the only route or minimum 6 million.
Who would ever have Alonso?
I don't know about that. But, you know, the key is Trent and Joe Gomez for sure, because them at 5 enables a lot. I mean, because you're saving 2 million between the two of them versus, you know, the around 6 million asset for, you know, the other defenders from the two teams. So,
right.
I mean, that's the key. But it also,
getting this on record, we both think that that's still Liverpool's first choice back four. is Trent at right back, Gomez at center back, not Lovren. So just because a lot of people wrote in about that.
It's not the think, that's just a fact. So
I'm pretty sure. It would take another Lovren start to change that. And so obviously we can't say it for another 2 weeks, but yeah. As far as top topics go, I think the only other one where we got like a lot of questions about the same thing are Everton, because a lot of people have their eye on Richarlison. He obviously started at striker last week and scored. And then a lot of people are starting to look at Siggy because he's had back-to-back monster games statistically on the pitch, highlights, stats, everything. And so people are looking there. I mean, Lewis on Twitter, should we move away from Everton assets before they're harder run? Kenshin on Twitter, what do we think of Richarlison, out of position striker? Lee on Slack, if you're on wildcard, Richarlison or Sigurdsson? So what do you think there?
Yeah, I mean, Rich at striker is too much. I'm still having a hard time wrapping my head around that as a thing of life. I've never owned Richarlison in FPL for 1 week. And maybe that's why I'm horrible at FPL, but he's not that. He's 0.6 cheaper than Siggy, and Siggy is on song. He looks, as you mentioned, outstanding for Everton last couple games, and he's doing things that we remember on Swansea, just kind of, you know, doing crazy worldy bossing techers shit all game, and he's been great. But you know, an out of position midfielder at striker alone up top is scenes. It's just something that we salivate over, and it's the kind of thing that we go full seasons without seeing. So, you know, it's got to be Rich for. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, guys get their position changed in FPL just because they play up top for like a few games. Like, Rich could be a forward next season if this keeps up, is what I'm trying to say. That's how meaningful it is.
Yeah, for those reasons, it's got to be Rich for me. And not particularly close. And if I were wildcarding, he would be an absolute pillar of my midfield of what I'd be building around. The fixtures get, Everton, we know, have had a ridiculously easy run of fixtures to date. But you know, Rich is just, he's their main man. They don't play defense. And especially if he's going to be playing up top, he's going to have plenty of time plenty of opportunity with his pace against top teams on the counter to have some chances and half chances. And they still do have some really nice home games, like good to bad fixtures alternating, that he might be able to buoy his point total, even though it's not, you know, a sea of green coming up. Rich looks like a buy with confidence outstanding purchase in this moment to me.
Yeah, I think Rich is the very, very obvious pick of the two, but I do think there's a decent chance that Siggy is the actual guy to get. Just, I don't know, just looking at stats and positioning and stuff like that, like Rich is nominally at striker. Like that's how they show it on fucking, you know, like Sky highlights or whatever, Rich at striker. But Siggy has been super far forward, super central, like taking all of the shots. Like Rich only had one shot and it was a goal, but he only had one shot last week. And Siggy is just shooting at will and creating a billion chances. It's really interesting when you look at the side by side of game weeks 1 through 6 and game weeks 7 and 8 and Siggy. And he went from basically playing like central midfielder to playing like not just number 10, like he's basically second striker, like center forward behind the striker or something. So if he's still on pens, which even though he missed one, I feel like I assume he's still on pens because Baines is not part of the team anymore. I don't know. It could be Siggy, but Richarlison's just too obvious. It's overthinking it to not go Richarlison, probably.
Yeah, it's the other thing is with Siggy, he's kind of like Paul obviously always an option, but it's similar with Paul where the heat map, it's like he's taking shots from distance, and his heat map, like hottest red points, are on both corner flags, like taking corner.
Yeah,
flags. So he just kind of is not always in the most threatening positions. Whereas Rich, you know, he's in the box more and shit, so he takes shots from closer range, and he's a threat for goals on set piece, obviously. So you're taking them, but I think it's just a little bit overthinky.
It is right now. I just think like another week of like this kind of like stat discrepancy, and I would you can maybe tilt me towards Siggy, I think.
Okay.
But for now, I would say, yeah, obviously, Rich. Let's do some questions, unless there's anything else you want to
I think we need to touch on Bournemouth for just a moment because it's pretty it's pretty remarkable what they're doing. I mean, Cabaselli got sent off, but you know, at Watford, I was expecting an extremely tight game, and that got put on its head because partly in part of the red card. But
yeah, 30th minute red card is no joke.
Yeah, but you know, red card happened because you're getting dominated, and you know you got to make a rash challenge when you're out of position. Yeah. So, Bournemouth, they've got three more really good fixtures, and then it gets or two more really good fixtures, and then it gets bad. So I'm still a little bit not sure if it's worth removing their players, though, after that point. I guess we'll have that conversation in November. I guess they have three. United at home's pretty good. They're pretty fucking horrible. So that's going to be a conversation of later. But I would be very hesitant to buy Bournemouth attackers right now looking at the fixtures. What do you think? Do you think it's kind of like – because I'm seeing people, you know – getting like King or Wilson as make weights for funds to fund a double move or something. But I feel like we're going to be wanting to take these players out soon. Do you think it's playing too much of the fix? I still don't buy Bournemouth. I still don't get what's happening. It's still just like beyond me. And I know you made a good point. They actually bought good players for once in their lives and they don't have Harry Arter in midfield anymore and Dan Gosling. So I mean, there might be something to said where they're like a top seven team and they're just good and they're good at attacking, period. Do you think that they're a kind of team that you need to play fixtures jumping on and off? Or do you think that they're just like maybe kind of set and forgetty?
Yeah, at this point, I'm kind of leaning more towards set and forget. And partially that has to do with their price. I mean, I think if they were priced like Everton players, like Fraser was 2 million more expensive and he was, you know, whatever, Siggy prices, it would be a much different conversation. But think
it's only 1 million. They're pretty similar, dude.
Yeah,
Fraser's six now.
They've just been so much better. Also, just I feel like as enablers, King and Wilson are as cheap as you want to be in strikers. Obviously, there's Ings and Jimenez, but you'd rather have King or Wilson.
Yeah.
Probably Wilson and Fraser at six is so cheap. There's not really many people cheaper than him off the top of my head that are relevant at all in FPL. And for that reason, I still think you can hold them and feel pretty good about it. And they're so good on the counter that they might be able to just counter one of these top teams, even if they have only like 30% possession or something like that. But as far as a doubling, which I've seen a lot of teams are doubling like Wilson and Fraser or something, that's probably a little too much for me.
A little too much, yeah. They have home Southampton at Fulham though the next two.
Yeah, I mean, those are like captainable. Captain Callum Wilson against Fulham. That's easy. Good. They look so good.
We might need to do a little more deeper of a dive, maybe talk to some more Bournemouth supporters, because that's going to be one of like the calls of the season, I think, whether or not you have Bournemouth investment in their attack in this run or not, because
isn't everyone going to have them and then slowly people will transfer them out if they start blanking?
But that's what I'm saying. I mean, those are the times when you make huge gains are when you have, unlike what we're talking with Kevin, when no one has the player and then you buy him early when still no one has the player, it's like whatever, other people still have good players. When everyone has Fraser and Wilson and you get rid of them before they go on three blanks when they play home United at Newcastle, like at City or something, like three and four, like when you get rid of the player that and everyone else still has them, then that's where you make big differential chunk gains on like the field.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm talking about. Like, is that going to be a call to be like, fixtures get tough, don't believe in Bournemouth, I'm getting rid, or hold, hope for the best, they're going to be good over the medium long term? I don't know.
Right. That'll be a big major topic on that pod. Like, because especially fresh after at Fulham, where they'll probably score four or five goals.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's gonna be tough to rip someone out of your team off like a double return, but it might just be like a genius little move.
Okay. Something for the future. Just putting seeds in your mind.
I've not had a Bournemouth attacker all season, and it's definitely a large part of the reason why I've just been suffering. It's been so hard to not own them. And they're such pen merchants. It's so fucking annoying. I think they have five pens on the season, I think.
I mean, I think Wilson has 8 assists, including all the pens he's been taken down for. I don't understand. It's absolutely mind-boggling.
He has 3 goals, 7 assists.
And then, of course, well, it's not good for you, but City, they're fucking first pen of a life and Kuhn is off the pitch. It's such an infuriating.
Oh, yeah. That's so brutal.
I'm sure we'll get Wolves defense questions. So why don't you just get into the questions?
Yeah, let's just go to questions. Ricky Chubbs on Slack regarding Arsenal attack. Do you think it's still just Laka or Bellerin for attacking potential? Not a shout, right?
Right, not a shout there. I still think, yeah, it's Laka or bust. Obbs is just too expensive, and he's so much of a less attractive option to me than Laka. Do we know who's on pens for them yet still or not? We have no idea.
I feel like we learned that at some point. Maybe it was preseason or some shit, but I honestly can't remember. Mm. I mean, we know Laka is like incredibly good at penalties. Like he was the main man in France, but on Lyon, but I'm not sure. I'm honestly just not sure. It's so fucking typical of me to like captain a brace and then Abba subs on for 20 fucking minutes and gets max bones.
Oh yeah, of course. Like, of course.
Garbage time goals fucking for bones. So annoying for me.
Ozil is like can't possibly not get phantom injuries and illnesses. He's
and
not
Rambo
an
doesn't even didn't even start. That was unbelievable to me. I thought he'd be nailed after Ozil was out, you know?
Yeah, he just doesn't have a real place in the team. The midfield's kind of a mess. I think it is just lock or bust, which is, you know, it's tough to fit into the team with all these midfielders firing and Kuhn and, you know,
and
tough.
So many good 7 million forwards also.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Lock is such a good pick.
He's such a good pick. I'm so happy that all my preseason jizzing over Matto and Laka has brought them both in my team, and they're both good picks.
I can't believe you were shouting Arsenal attack preseason. Like, you offended so many people on Reddit for saying Arsenal attack was good. There are so many Spurs fans just so upset. Meanwhile, I mean, Spurs attack is just untouchable. They're so good. They score so many. They create so many chances for Morgan.
They destroyed Cardiff.
They play Huddersfield and Cardiff's a couple of the worst teams to ever play in the league. They create so many chances and goals from open play. It's like, you know, it's just Arsenal, though. Arsenal,
yeah. Leon Slack, how many Wolves players are you planning to have with some tricky fixtures in game weeks 11 through 15? They do have tricky fixtures coming up.
Yeah, I'm getting a little bit concerned with the overreaction about Wolves, like double defense. The one thing that Patricio has in his locker is that he's an absolute bat merchant. Their center backs in the system do not seem to be able to accumulate very many successful passes to get to that like bonus point threshold. And Patricio, with like between 2 and 6 saves each game, is just bossing. And Doherty obviously scores a goal or an assist every game, so he's always up there. But
he's a winger.
Yeah, I don't hate the Patricio double up, but I don't like two defenders, like, you know, Doherty and Johnny or Doherty and someone, because the fixtures are tricky. And with the goalie, you always have the backup plan of, you know, when they don't keep the clean, he could still get, you know, 4 points if he gets 6 saves and they concede 1 or something like that. But, you know, other than home Watford, I don't feel good. The next 3 are at Brighton, home Spurs at Arsenal. I don't want to start 2 defenders in any of those games.
I feel okay about at Brighton.
I don't know. It's still an away fixture. I just, you know, I don't, for me,
yeah,
like the
it's
double,
in a way, but they're fucking good.
I know, like, but they're not like Liverpool or City. You know,
yeah,
like started, but that's what I'm saying. Like double, I need like a fucking good defense, like Chelsea last year, like Leicester in their title winning season. Like I need a fucking good-ass defense to want to start 2 of them away, even against like a mid-table team. I mean, they have Huddersfield and Cardiff 13, 14, but it's like it feels a little just reactionary. However, they have been good defensively for, you know, a month. So I'm a little torn on it. I don't hate it, but I don't love it. I don't know. What do you think?
I think having one is I sort of feel similarly about like Bournemouth attack and having one Wolves defender. Like I'm not going to say the words must own, but I haven't had them and it feels just so dumb and ridiculous to not have at least one.
I mean, they have like 4 cleans in their last 5.
Yeah,
that's
for the price and the attacking and Rui on saves and bones. It's just, they're just such good value picks, even if you're not doubling up. So I still think having one is good. I mean, you start one, no question, in game weeks 9, 10, 13, 14, 16, 17. There's just Spurs, Arsenal, Chelsea in the middle there. So I think ideally you have like one defender and you can swap him out for someone else in 11 and 12. I think that would be my ideal. Or you just have the goalie, which I agree with you. You can just start every week because of the saves and bones and stuff. But I mean, I'm not going to say I hate doubling. I think it's fine, but...
The one thing, though, that must be said is, I mean, the beginning of the season, I was very down on Daugherty just watching him eye test wise. He just seemed like a really shit footballer to me, and he was like a little slow, out of position a lot defensively, and just I didn't like what I was seeing. But in the last four, his stats are fucking dumb.
No, he is a winger. So, it's not like an exaggeration at all.
I mean, it kind of is like reminiscent of maybe like Coleman a few years ago when he was 4 or 5, like when that his first good season when he was just overlapping and getting attacking returns for absolute fun.
Yeah.
So doubling up when one of them is Daugherty feels a little bit better just because
Daugherty and Patricio like that. Yeah, you can't be bad, right? Yeah.
No, you feel good if you're going there. They also on a Totally Football pointed this out that you know they build from the right a lot.
And oh yeah, yeah. When you look at their average like positioning shit, it's like all the full pitch is like tilted towards Doherty's side.
Yeah. And the other thing that must be said too, I mean, Johnny, like last four matches, Doherty's had 6 goal attempts in the box and Johnny's had 5. So, yeah, you know, not as many chances created. It's 6 for Doherty and 3 for Johnny. But, you know, the thing that I'm struggling with in my head is like, okay, the real question is not, you know, do I get this player instead of like Trent or like Gomez or Laporte? Like, no, I want the player from 2 of the best teams in the division, but like Newcastle, that's a question because that's another team they've been bad, but their fixture run is about to get fucking dumb. And we know that Rafa in seasons past has ground out clean sheets at home against bad teams. That's how he stays up with a team like Newcastle with the fucking ridiculous mockery of a squad they have funded by Mike Ashley's very, very deep and shallow pockets, if that makes any sense. But like, do you want to go with a team that's, you know, going to be a top 8 team with a better defense with the tougher fixtures? Or do you bank on fixtures over form and get someone like, you know, Yedlin or Lascelles on a Newcastle with better fixtures? That's a tough question. What do you think about that?
I mean, I think my answer would be get both and swap in the Newcastle players for 11 and 12 who are home Watford, home Bournemouth. They're not great, but at least they're both home and take it from there. I think like rotating them is probably the best way since we haven't seen it yet from Newcastle. But I do think just echoing what you were saying about like Doherty and even Johnny, they're just so attacking and so good. Like they're just so obviously a top half team like Vegas and everyone thought they would be before the season started that long term, it's just not going to do you any wrong to endure maybe 3 bad fixtures or something like that in a space where you hold them for 10 weeks and they're going to just be good and return points and have high averages and stuff like that. So
and another thing, because
Newcastle just hasn't done it yet, so it's like,
and they're awful.
They're so bad. They couldn't even keep United out, and it's just.
And the other thing too is to keep in mind is that Johnny, especially with Johnny and Doherty, they're not fullbacks; they're wingbacks, so they're kind of out of position.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's a huge point. Because
You know, I mean, this conversation ahead of time, I was thinking of Shaw to Lascelles, but I'm thinking of maybe just going Doherty and just going with both and seeing what happens.
Oh God, double barrel shotgun, Doherty, Johnny.
I mean, you know, having both the wingbacks. Johnny scored a fucking goal from the penalty spot the other week. Like, that just doesn't happen. You don't have defenders standing at the penalty spot. And with Doherty also, it's kind of like a little bit like last season with Bavis. Just, you know, it was only a matter of time. You know, he's playing wing back, even though he was more expensive. But, I mean, he fell off the boil around mid-season. But it was more towards the beginning of the season. But, you know, we watch a few games where we're like, this is a serious FPL asset. The stats are ridiculous. He's playing. He's getting in the box. Like, it was like Alonso at the beginning of the season, even though he hasn't gotten in the box lately. So, yeah, okay.
And there's also good. Bennett, who's 4-1 and nailed and picking up bonus. And, like, yeah, there's not really that good of an argument to not double on their defense, I don't think. Because even if you're not going to start them every week, then you have Bennett as your backup, as your enabler. And he's 4-1 and nailed in a top half team. You know, and it's just
It doesn't look like Dendoncker is going to be taking a spot anytime soon. I mean, after
they just broke the Premier League record for unchanged starting 11s. Yeah. Like Muto in.
Yeah, and Cody's been good. Yeah, they've just been really good defensively. So, all right. The only thing that
made Connor Cody.
Yeah, Liverpool. The only thing that just made those 2 weeks, like 11-12, when they have Spurs Arsenal, if it's stuck. Tough.
You want to bench him that week.
Yeah, because I also have Wan-Bissaka, who has similar fixtures those weeks. So then I'm just a little bit backing myself into a corner there. I don't know. We'll get there later. What else we got?
So Mars on Slack, Marsali, Alonso's still sexy? Question mark. Speaking of Alonso, we just aforementioned Alonso.
Yeah, I mean, when you commit manslaughter, it's hard to get off the sexy, the sexy, right? Or what, off base, or it's okay?
It's not okay, but... Man, yeah, he hasn't been himself lately.
No. I feel like we have seen this also last season, even when he was playing wing back. He goes in and out of like little mini runs of insane stats for a month, and then he kind of stops doing it. I don't know if it's like you'd spend a lot of energy, Marcos A, and then go drink driving the other few weeks, Marcos A, or what it is, but... He's in a downward spell, and you can't spend $7 million when the stats aren't there. I'm sorry, you just can't do it, especially when you have, you know, Liverpool and City assets at $2 and $1 million less. I think he's a good make weight, and it's always a problem with Mahrez, right? I mean, even though they've been getting clean sheets and they've been looking good, you know, he's always a spot on your team because he's always so expensive that you have an eye on is, you know, if I do him to Trent, is that even a downgrade? And I get $2 million and I can do, you know, Dilva to Sterling or something. It's like, do that.
$2 million is so ridiculous. Yeah, like,
And they still have Burnley and Palace, two of the next four, a couple really good clean shouts, but I have no problem if you want to get rid at this point. What do you, I mean, you have him. I'm sure he's in your thoughts of.
Yeah, he's in my thoughts, but less than you would think. I mean, to me, it was, I just don't know yet if it's like, this is sorry making tactical adjustments because everyone was exploiting Alonso and blah, blah, blah. He can't get out of his own third now because he's so deep, whatever. Or is this just a wave, like you said? And I do agree with you where I feel like I've seen this before. I mean, he got like a free header versus Liverpool and could have scored any free kick. He's going to either hit the bar or score. It seems like he does every free kick for a left footer. He just wanders in and out of games. I feel like more than like wandering in and out of form, where it's just like he just goes on a little run and either he's hit, like Hazard hits him on the overlap and he's in the box and taking touches, or he goes on the same run and the ball gets shifted out wide to the right and he's not involved and doesn't do anything. I don't know. I have a tough time wrapping my head around the fact that like, He starts the season as he started, and sorry, it's just like, no, stop doing all of that. Like, you're a fucking left back. Don't go forward ever. Like, I don't really believe that would happen. And against bad teams or lesser teams, which they're playing for the majority of the next run, they should still be bossing possession at a ridiculously high rate, and he should still be pushing forward, I think. So. Okay. I don't know. I mean, it is ridiculously high price, but I still feel relatively okay. And like you said, they've been getting clean. So like he's the same price as like Matto and Rich and stuff, but he gets 6 points when they get a clean sheet. That's good. Like that's an assist for Matto or Rich, you know? Yeah, so it's a fine job by him.
Okay. It's fair.
With upsides of double digit hauls, you know, like we know what he's capable of. He could just get 3 double digit returns in a row. Game is 10 through 13 or something, you know?
Yeah. I guess just, I agree with what you're saying. It's kind of the long haul, the patient play is probably good. And
yeah,
you hold him and then you'll hope that you get some double digit returns coming in. But it's still,
if you drop him and upgrade someone else to Hazard, it's hard to imagine that that's a bad move.
Yeah, because it's still, you know, even David Luiz is $1.5 million less. You know, you can still buy the clean sheet for a lot less and upgrade elsewhere. So it's a tough one. It's team dependent. If you really need money to make another upgrade, that's the obvious spot. Then I don't have an issue with that. But at the same time, like, he's still returning with clean sheets. So he's still a fine pick. It's a tough one.
It's a really tough call. Yeah. DW on Slack, which low ownership players are solid targets right now? Maybe even must owns. You fucking wind up merchant, DW. He said, for example, Siggy looks sexy right now at 3.5% owned. Is there anyone on your radar? Just like totally. Is there anyone on your radar who's off the radar? Does that make sense?
Kevin, we talked about, definitely is going to be someone who's going to start coming into team soon. Raz is still very low owned. He's a really good diff. I mean, these are both premium options, but
Felipe Anderson, their West Ham run starts soon.
Yeah, that's, I like that. I think Newcastle defense is going to be a decent bet for some cleans at that budget price bracket. I think they're going to be a good place to invest. I'm not that sure about West Ham defense, but their players are also 4-5, so that could be like
Declan Rice lined up as a defender, too, playing out of position.
Defensive mid.
I mean, he's a defender in the game.
But he's playing CDM.
But he's their defensive mid, yeah.
Maybe that's a guy. Yeah, that could be a guy. Low owned. I don't. Other than that, I don't.
Really, I mean, I kind of have an eye on Burnley defenders, and no, they have Man City and Chelsea next too. But if they just start grinding out 1-0s like usual Burnley, then there's usually going to be value there, but not really. I don't know. Not many others, I don't think.
Yeah, I think it seems this season, you know, it's a smaller pool of players, and it's about kind of fitting the most of them in your team as possible while still having shares of the good defenses, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, it does seem like that, yeah. John OTHFC on Slack, who's the best 5-5, who's the best under 5-5 mid, basically under Fraser? Is Kennedy worth a shout?
No, Kennedy's horrible. I'm so out on Kennedy. Every time I watch him play, he does the dumbest shit ever. It's like his brain is fucking rocks. I don't know. I don't understand him. He has all this like skill in it. He needs to go to fucking France with like Memphis. They would be best friends.
Oh my God. He would score 28 goals
and he would do so well against like Nantes and shit.
Yeah.
Definitely not him. I still like Knocker. Knocker.
Knocker. Knocker.
Remember when fucking Ruben Neves, everyone was jizzing to get him in? That was so good.
Yeah, I still have him.
Yeah, great, that's pick. Funny. That was so good. After week one, we were shitting on him
shit all over him.
Except we also told people to buy Conte, so that was bad job by us.
And Jota in preseason.
Stan is interesting. I think he's a little bit pricier. He's 6. He hasn't started yet, but I mean, Brooks has been giving up. He keeps subbing Brooks off. I don't know. Will Hughes is like a name. I don't see a ton, honestly.
Of these are like huge puns that honestly you'd feel lucky if any of them came off, I feel like. So
yeah, insanely lucky. It's just not the place you want to be. Like downgrade a defender, don't get that, you know, fourth 10 plus million attacker, like to be a little sensible. And if you're shopping in the 5-5 and under bracket for, you know, say a start every week type, it's going to be rough. Cause it's just going to take 3 weeks of like a 2-2-1 to just want to kill yourself.
Yeah. There's just nothing I'm seeing at all.
No, nothing. Hojojojberg is looked pretty good, but I don't know, dude, it's bad. And Kearney just had that setback. I mean, he looked like a good shout. Game week one, but he's just been
later,
dead.
Dude.
Yeah, later. See you later. And then Ward also now just doesn't start anymore since they were scoring for fun. So how could they fit him in the teams? There's not much.
There's really not much.
Sorry, that was a bad answer, but
yeah. I just don't see much. Dwayne on Slack, what's a better formation going forward, 3-4-3 or 4-3-3? To put into context, it's a decision between Laporte or Fraser. Billing or Yedlin as enablers for those choices, respectively. I hope that makes sense. Yeah, it makes sense.
I mean, I still just like the high floor of the defender, you know, the premium
team. Yeah, I like 4-3-3.
Yeah, premium team defender's always going to be getting in there. And I mean, I've been in 4-4-2 all season, but it's similar. But yeah, I like the high floor.
The high floor, and I like the cheaper options at forward are all, there's a lot of really good ones.
It's also other thing too, just, I mean, I still don't, I mean, this is my worst season by far since I've ever played. So maybe this is why, but I've only made, I made 6 transfers and I'm just like floating transfers for fun. And by getting these stable players instead of these flash in the pan midfielders, when I'm chasing points or getting like mid price mids in and out, I've been able to just like focus my transfers so much better, and it feels
not
so
wild
much better.
Card. It's same for both of us.
Yeah, I still have my wild card, right? Exactly.
Yeah, like I'm probably going to end up taking like a -8 or something, which sounds insane, but it has been because of what you're saying and having the defenders and being able to focus. Where it's just like I had a 5 million game week rank last game week, and I'm still just like, yeah, my team's good. Save. I'll just figure out a way to get Hazard with two frees and take it from there. It's like no big deal, you know? Whereas, yeah, seasons prior, we would have both wildcarded in like game week 5 and be fucking spending frees and taking hits for fun.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's, and yeah, the premium defenders, it's just, you know what you're going to get, and they don't, they're just good. They're good picks. Good job by them.
Craig Johnson on Facebook, how big were your boners after Harry Kane did nothing other than get booked? I bet you've loved that.
How have we not mentioned that? We're almost at like the 3-hour mark of the pod and we have not mentioned that? I mean, I needed a piss towel in the bathroom and I did not use it for piss when Harry Kane at one point. It's just the little things. It's exactly what we've been talking about for like months, and it just finally comes to first. Like Rose still diving for fun, just the ref doesn't give him a pen for free, and they created nothing as they always do. And no Erickson, no Ollie. I mean, it's a problem. No,
they did create shit, but it all went to Lucas Moura. None of it went to Kane.
That's true. Lucas Moura did look like he should have had something in there, but. I don't know what more to say. We've been talking about it forever. I mean, everyone, we're American, we're not English. We don't give a fuck that half the English national team is on Spurs and we don't, you know, jerk them all off because we have no stake there. And our eyes tell us that Spurs have been bad for a long time. And, you know, this is the proof of the pudding. The last two games, they did create a bit more this week than they did 2 away against Huddersfield. But, you know, from open play, they're just not threatening. And, you know, they have a great point total on the season. And in real they're a good team. Yeah. In real life, they're grinding out points when they need to. But they haven't looked good for fantasy, which is what we're fucking, this podcast is about. So don't get me wrong. I mean, Spurs are going to finish 5th or 4th, probably for sure. I don't think anyone
they
could
got through
them.
Their injury crisis with 3 points. That's all that fucking matters. I'm just saying the exact same thing that you said, but their attacks look diabolical. Their defense is awful. Cardiff probably should have had like 2 goals. And for us, a fantasy podcast, that's all that matters.
Yeah. So it's so nice. I mean, it's not nice, but it's kind of nice to see people like, fuck, I fell for it. I got Kane and I need to take a -8 to get him out to do this or this. Like, fuck, I don't have Mo now. Like, I captained him for a 1-pointer and now I need to take a hit to get him. It's like, you do not buy players for 2 weeks. It's just, what are you doing? We do not have unlimited transfers. You don't do that. If you don't want the player after the 2 good fixtures, then do not buy said player. It's very simple. And no one was buying him for the form because he has absolutely no form. He can't run. He can't outpace Wes Morgan. So you don't buy that player. It's just so simple. It's such a simple strategic FPL like thing. You just don't. Yeah. Don't hook it.
Rip Wes Morgan.
God, Kenny's fucking fuck.
All right. A few more questions. Louis on Twitter, better mid option for the next 5 fixtures, Knockhart, Freza, or Richarlison? And Ian Miles similarly on Twitter, Madison versus Richarlison.
No, it's Rich. We were big on Maddo before. Rich playing at striker, point taken, he had 1 shot. I mean, he usually only, if he takes more than 1 shot, he usually doesn't score in a game, but Rich playing a striker, I cannot see past, period. Sub 8 million bracket.
And Everton are a legit attack.
No, all they do is attack. They don't play defense. Sub 8 million price bracket in midfield, Richarlison is far and away my favorite option right now that he's played striker, and I can't imagine he would take him out of there. I mean, Tosun is clearly not the future, and you know they've struggled with him in significantly.
And also just getting Bernard in, he looked amazing.
That. Yes,
and
exactly.
Getting Siggy right behind Rich was amazing. It just seemed like it made everyone better.
Yeah, yeah. So definitely Rich, no comparison, not even close. But I still think Maddo's going to trickle. I mean,
yeah. He's a long term in my team. Like I'm not even looking at that spot. Right now.
You're not going anywhere. You're not going to be gaining anything if you're transferring players like Madison in and out of your team. You know, know who he is and what he's going to do. And that's not a spot you should be really, you know, eyeing. So
I agree. I probably should have started with this question. Liam on Twitter said, each show is becoming more and more City and Pool focused. Would be good to hear what you guys think about the other 18 teams in the Prem and the FPL contributors, i.e. best Wolves defender going forward. We covered that. What to do with Watford assets? Fuck them all off. What else? Any other players on the other 18 teams? We've talked about a lot, I guess, this pod.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair criticism, I think. We do spend a lot of time on those two teams.
Absolutely.
But the reason for that is that I would say the average of 50% of our 11 players are made up from those two teams. We pretty much all have five at minimum from those two teams. So, you know, it is an important talking point, and those are the players who, you know, a lot of us have. But the thing also that's very interesting about this season are the bad teams are horrendous. And there are not a lot of options on the bad teams that we really need to be considering or looking at. I mean, we have like Juan Bissaka's on a lot of our teams, but that's not someone we're like, oh, like look at all of these 4 million defender options. You know, like, you know, we covered the Wolves, different things like that. So
there,
I think
there
is one
enablers.
Like,
you don't want to start.
Like, you know,
anyway.
we're looking at teams like Southampton. You know, we mentioned Ings, but like Southampton, Cardiff. I mean, Fulham. We've mentioned Mitrovic and maybe not really Sherla, but whatever. We mentioned Mitrovic. Like Brighton. I mean, Knocker. We have like a little weird hard on for him. Like Huddersfield, Palace.
Murray,
like
these, in, though.
Yeah, but these are just bad teams. So you know, you're maybe going to get one player from all these collective teams. So that's kind of why we don't spend that much time talking about these shittier teams. And I mean, I get that's like, if you're a fan of that team and you enjoy listening about that, that's like a little shitty, and I apologize for that. But I mean, remember, I'm a Palace fan, and I bring up Palace once every like 3 to 6 pots because they're bad. So I don't know.
Yeah, that's a, I think.
But what do you think? So like, I mean, the Watford question's interesting, though. We haven't touched on them. They've been significant downturn. They just got absolute spanked. Do you think they're just
in highlights? It looked like it was very against the run of play against Bournemouth. They got countered once, but they were well on top then. And then it was just red card and penalty in the same action, and that just killed the entire game for them. So yeah. I'm not that worried. I still think they're decent. You know, decent defensively, decent team, good midfield, but I never really backed their attack that much. I never really thought they would have like a consistently good attack by any stretch. And
I mean, they really haven't all season. I mean, they've scored more than 2 goals once, and
set piece. It's all been all set pieces.
Yeah, a lot of set pieces. I mean, it's not really how Gracia sets a team up or what he's ever done as a manager. They do have Hulls red flagged, Janmaat dead, Cabasele red flagged. They're in trouble. I think if you've got Watford players, it's probably a good time to ship. 3 away fixtures in the next 4. It just doesn't.
Yeah, it's bad.
It doesn't look good. Yeah, it's time to get rid if you have any. I think.
Yeah, I think you fuck them all off.
Yeah. What about Mitrovic? He's been kind of quiet. You think he's in a Mitrovic? You think he's going to come back into it?
I mean, look at their fixtures. Yeah. That's what gives me no warning at all. At Cardiff, home Bournemouth, at Huddersfield. That's just incredible. I mean, he's still, everything they do funnels to Mitrovic. Yeah. And that's what you want out of a player on your fantasy team. I'm not worried about him at all.
It's coming.
Yeah, it's coming.
Okay.
The reckoning. Fantasy Plonker on Twitter. Who's best Zaha replacement? Glazza? I don't know who Glazza is.
Is that Glenn Murray? It's got to be.
That's what I think I tweeted back at him. Is that Glenn Murray? But I don't think he wrote back.
Gotta be Glenn Murray.
It has to be. Glenn is great.
Yeah, Glenn's, he's not bad.
What? So what's up with Wilf? Because he and Palace are also on a downward spiral, and he's gone 3 without a goal, and I don't know. He looks like a little deeper on Match of the Day highlights. They have kind of rough and pretty fucking rough fixtures coming up. Maybe not Everton, Arsenal, maybe not too bad attacking, but then Chelsea, Spurs, United. So what's up?
It's a fire sale. We're just looking awful. The midfield is, he's had no consistency in midfield all season.
Yeah.
There is something to that. I mean, I get that we had a couple new faces, we've had a couple injuries, and like he's trying to find the best 3, but I mean, game week 9, like you got to be there. You can't still be chopping and changing. And it's like the game plan, I feel like he's trying to like out game plan every game and play. You can't make 2 changes in the midfield 3 every game and expect to have have consistent performances.
If you think
like these 3 players in midfield are going to give me the best chance to win this game based on A, B, and C tactically, that's okay, but it's still Palace. Our midfielders are still kind of bad. So I think there's more to having more consistency. Maybe you change one player instead of two. I mean, two players, three is a big change. And you know, Milivojevic has been fucking horrible this season, but that's been a big problem. I mean, the service has been a problem. We lose Benteke and we still can't score goals, which is very upsetting because...
Yeah, it's actually weird. Like, IU looks so good on highlights. Like, match of the day, I'm like, he's doing a lot of stuff that I like, but it's incredible how much is lost because of just crossing the ball to Benteke, who just heads it down for somebody. Yeah. Like, the space and the defenders that he occupies by just being a donkey who can head the ball is ridiculous. It gives Wilf so much more space.
Yeah, that's a great point. More coming back to Wilf. Yeah, I mean, with IU, it's just he's like a little work rate merchant, but he's not... He doesn't really worry you as a center back. You know,
it's not like occupying multiple defenders.
I mean, he can't hold up like Benteke can and, you know, whatever. Yeah, that's a very big reason. Even as much as I hate Benteke, I think he's fucking trash. He's really good for Wilf because, like you mentioned, he's chest downs, knockdowns, hockey assists. You know, he takes up space. He does make good runs on counterattacks to create space for Wilf often, which doesn't show up on the FPL or the real life score sheet, but... That is something he's good at, and you know
he had 7 assists last season.
No, that's a lot for a donkey or any number 9, let alone a donkey. We're just a mess. We're a complete mess. We have bad fixtures coming up. There's zero reason to hold on to Zaha. I could see if you have other pressing things, and we have Everton that you could give him one more game, but it's fairly urgent. I think we aren't really doing anything to show that we're gonna turn it around, and the fixture run is just horrendous. I mean, you could conceivably get like 2 points out of the next 6.
That'd be good.
I mean,
it would be like kind of good.
Kind of my expectation.
Yeah,
we do play up to the opposition. We have
that's
some.
True.
We have three.
You're better on the counter than in possession. Yeah.
And after Everton, we have 3 straight derbies, and we do play well in those games, but. I don't want players in FPL. Like, you know, maybe we'll put in a good performance and nick a 1-1 or something, best case, but we're still probably going to lose all those games, you know? So it's time to sell. And Juan, I mean, if you were starting Juan or your 11th man was light, it's time to look at that because he's not going to get more than like 5 points in the next 5 games. He shouldn't.
He's just not very attacking also is
no,
one thing
not.
That's been like kind of disappointing.
No, he's not at all.
Yeah, he started the season with the assist game week 1, and it was like, oh my god, this new like rampaging right back is the best thing we've ever seen in FPL. But he's just not. He just doesn't really get forward.
No, he doesn't. So all right. that's
Palace. So yep. two more questions, and let's move on. I guess Coach Koppel on Twitter: are there any Huddersfield, Brighton, or Newcastle assets worth consideration ahead of their great fixture runs?
Yeah, I mean, so Newcastle, I like Lascelles a lot.
Yedlin's cheap.
Every single game I watch, I feel like he's a trainer visits him twice a game, period.
He's also just bad.
He's bad, very bad, actively bad.
Nate is going to be so unhappy with this part of the pod.
I mean, Nate thinks Lucas Perez is good, so who gives a fuck what he thinks? Lascelles, he's the most expensive of
the
4-8, but
the core of the team. He's fucking awesome. I love him.
He's also, you know, the kind of the target man on set pieces, and that's really the only way they score goals by and large. But they don't have much going for them. Brighton,
Dubrovka's okay too.
I forgot about Dubrovka. Yeah, that's a good chat. Yeah, Dubrovka definitely. And Dubrovka also so good on bonus for them because all their fucking defenders suck ass and they can't pass. They don't do anything. Dubrovka gets a lot of bonus. So it's probably...
I'm looking at him for my impending De Gea downgrade. He's in the mix for me.
Yeah, I mean, that's a tremendous way to make money. But it's the same thing. It's like, why would you pick him over Patricio? That's tough.
Yeah, that's been happening in my head on repeat for the last 24 hours. It's terrible.
All right,
it feels bad when you want one guy and it just makes absolutely no logical sense whatsoever. That's the story of my life, really.
All right.
But Brighton, no, I mean, their defense is fucking awful. I mean, like, I think Murray is not the worst pick in the world, I guess, but...
It's just when he's going up against, like, you know, the other 7 million, like, Arnie...
Yeah, it's just so hard in comparison. But their fixture run is ridiculous.
It is, but I also just don't know if they're good.
Yeah.
They've been bad.
And their fixture run is also... it's a little trickier than you'd be led on. I mean, at Newcastle's not good. Home Wolves is not good at all. And then back-to-back aways at Everton, at Cardiff. Yeah, it's Cardiff, whatever, but those aren't. It's still away, and it's not like... Brighton doesn't have easy fixtures. Like, they don't have bankers. They're one of the five worst teams in the league, probably.
Yeah, that's the reason why that they're one of the worst five teams. So when they're playing these, you know, you talk yourself into home Leicester as being like, oh, that's kind of tough. Like, they could get done.
They should. Like, Leicester's way better than them.
But that's what I'm saying. That's the difference. It's like, if West Ham are home Leicester, I'm like, oh, they'll score some goals.
Yeah, Arnie will score. Yeah.
Yarmo and Felipe, I like those guys. Those are rogue, like rogue as fuck.
I'm so rock hard for Felipe. Everyone who listens to the pod knows this.
Yeah.
All right, let's just go on. What do you want to do with captains and our teams and shit? Should we even talk about that or just save it for lineup lambs in 2 weeks? I don't even know.
We could just bant about it, knowing that we have 2 weeks and 5,000 games to go until there. But we have the fireside chat coming up, so we're not going to be potting again before next game week.
There's going to be a fireside chat on Monday, which I'll probably tweet out on Friday asking for questions and shit, so please respond to that.
Yeah, so we're not going to do like the 20-minute what are we doing here podcast like we did last international break. You're welcome.
That's done.
You're welcome.
But, yeah, we're not going to waste your time, yeah.
But well, let's just talk about caps as we think of them now and what we're looking at doing, and then, you know, and lambs, subject to change.
So Salah's very tempting.
Yeah, it's got to look between Mo and Kun, but it's a 60-minute thing. If Pep says anything short of he's 100% fit, I think I'm going to gamble with Mo. I do think it's a gamble with Mo, mind. The form has been so bad. And Huddersfield are obviously one of the bottom three teams in the league. That's not a question. But he's not finishing anything. So, you know, maybe he'll put in a Shaq or an actual attacker in the midfield three or switch it up.
I think
up
he maybe, will, like he did against Southampton.
Yeah, 4-2-3-1, put Mo at striker. I feel okay about it. But, you know, it's always a little unsettling to captain someone out of form. You know that.
I feel great about it.
Yeah, but you're a Liverpool anchor, so yeah, it's I know. So that's a little bullshit.
I could go like Laka, home Leicester. It's not terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, Hazard's not really an option.
Oh, was that United. Dude, Arsenal and Leicester, whenever they play, it's always like 7-5.
That's true, actually. Yeah, well,
I am remembering Monday Night Football, that could be a little scenic. I don't know. I don't hate that. I don't have Laka, but Laka definitely a shout worthy.
Interesting. Yeah. I haven't thought about it. I mean, I haven't thought about captains 2 fucking weeks away. Yeah. But
I mean, these are the three players. This is going to be an interesting week because,
like Raz.
Yeah,
also.
Raz. It's like when the top teams are playing absolute fodder horseshit teams. You know, if you hit captain and you know one of the other guys doesn't do as well, and you gain 10 or 12 points there, those are the weeks where you could really fly. So hitting captain is going to be important this week. But yeah,
how many people are in a captain Hazard home United?
Probably a lot of
he could just fucking just hat trick like
a lot of United fans probably will.
They just feel so bad about their team. Yeah, it's interesting.
I'm really curious if he's on pens over Jorginho. I would love to know that answer.
What do you mean? Yeah, he is. He has like 3 pens this year.
No, he doesn't. He took the last one because he was on a hat trick, and before that
he took one earlier in the season.
No, Jorginho took.
Jorginho took one when Hazard was off, but when Hazard was on, he took a pen.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, one of the games where he didn't start, he subbed on and took a pen.
All right, well, I'm an idiot.
I wouldn't go that far.
Whoa, bro, Captain Haz.
Yeah, I mean, Haz is a good pick. It's a sad day when I have to give up on everything and just bring in the guy, but it'll be good for me in the long run.
So, segue, what's your Haz plan?
I think it has to be the Dilva spot for me.
Oh, yeah. No question.
No question. There's just everything else. Anyone else I tried to turn into Haz, which would be either my 4 fives or just it's just such ridiculous amount of surgery. It would have to be like Kun to Callum or something.
That's wild card. Have you thought about wild carding?
Not really.
Okay.
I mean, I probably should, given that I'm like pretty nailed on to take a -8, but... Other than that, I like the rest of my team, so that's why I guess I haven't thought about it. Like -8 for 4 transfers doesn't seem like that bad of a trade to me.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, it's going to be a De Gea downgrade, probably a Luiz downgrade, even though he's been good. A Juan B swap and Dilva to Hazard is like the most likely way for me to do
it. Why would you waste 4 points on Juan?
Just because their fucking Palace is bad and I have to start an 11th player.
That's a bad hit.
Yeah, maybe I skip that one and I'll do Juan B to Bennett or something next week. Or yeah. the week after that, you know?
You could probably get that.
Yeah, that's fine. It's either that or like start to actually entertain the idea of dropping Kun, which, you know, it's really fucking easy to make moves that get Hazard in and get a bunch of good players in when you take someone out that's 11 million.
Yeah.
But it feels bad. And like I was saying before with like the coverage and City and all that shit, it just means like to me in my head, it just means like, okay, how am I going to get up to Kev when it's time for Kev or something like that and just go like 2 weeks without a City player or something like that. So, or maybe I like do like Ward to Haz and Kun down and eventually figure out a way to go Dilva to Kev or something like that. I'm not sure. Those are really like my only two options. There's just, Hazard's just so expensive. It's hard.
I think you should really look at wildcarding.
Yeah, because minus eights are bad.
Unlike your previous experience with minus eights, they are bad, but
they are bad.
I also just feel, you know, you could do some serious restructuring and, you know, you've got the double Chelsea defense. You have one you could get rid of. You have 2 4-5s who are awful and three 4-5s who are awful and Billingward and Kamara. You could address all of them. Dilva's
the thing
a problem.
Is like, these are all like
peripheral.
I agree with you. They would be so far out of my team. Like it's not even close. All those bench guys you just mentioned, but De Gea's obviously out this week, no question. But like the Chelsea defenders like seem bad, but they're good. Like yeah. They clean every other week. Like
yeah.
They're good.
Yeah.
You know, like right. Luiz is just somewhere where I'm finding funds, but he's definitely not like a auto out, like wild card first name out of my team. You know what I mean?
It's just if you're looking at an eight, I think you should at least entertain and spend a little time tinkering yes. If you were going to wild card to say like, because this could be the worst time of your fall. I mean, if you take another minus eight, you already took a minus eight.
It doesn't come off.
Yeah, like you shouldn't be taking multiple minus eights before you use your wild card. Like that's why we have the fucking wild card to not take minus eights.
Yeah.
I mean, that's you have totally two frees, so I mean, I don't know. Maybe the answer
is I can easily go minus four of Dilva to Haz, DDG to Patricio, and Luiz to a 4-5. Probably a Wolves defender.
Yeah, so I mean that, or even Alonso.
That's
like,
fucking easy.
Doing Alonso out, like maybe you don't need to be that aggressive in an eight. But
I'll just do a four probably. I mean, an eight is unnecessary. Yeah,
I mean, you could do De Gea, Alonso, and Dilv, and get there easily.
I mean, De Gea
double swap.
I can do it with De Gea, Luiz, and Dilv.
So, like,
I don't even need Alonso's money.
So like, what the fuck?
That's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna take a minus four and do that.
God, calm down, dude.
Bro,
dude,
listen. It's right, 2 weeks away. Right, I have to get worked up about something.
All right, Alon. All right, jeez.
What are you looking at?
Shaw's a problem. He's not playing for a great team right now, and
yep.
I think his jig is up. David's spot's very tenuous, but other than that, you know, team's looking good. So I'm still not sure of what I want to do with Dilv's spot. I mean, I am now a little bit thinking about Rich. I don't know if it's worth like downgrading everywhere to get. I mean, I have a million in the bank, so I mean, I could do Shaw to Doherty and Silva to KDB like for free. I mean, obviously, I'm not going to do that, but I mean, I have two frees. Like, I have money in the bank and shit, so I could do something like that. But I'm thinking right now, just doing Shaw and floating. I'll probably get Doherty. Probably just join the team and just see what happens there. And you know, I bank a little bit, even a little more money. And I mean, there's flexible things I could do. I mean, I could do Dilv to Rich, and then I could do something like Kamara to Mitrovic, or I could do something with Kamara and switch formation. I mean, if I went 3-4-3 and did something like that, it would give me, I mean, I could even do Dilv to Rich and Kamara to a 7 or something like that. if I did go 3-4-3, it would put a lot less pressure on having double Wolves defense because I would have Trent and Mendy to start every week. So I kind of like that, but
yeah, that's kind of fun.
I'm not
that's
sure. Good. I'm really, all of these things are in play. And I also just, I wish I could do like Allison down and still have two Liverpool defenders, but it's just, it's too many like extra transfers and I don't think it's going to impact my points enough. So I'm probably going to just stick with Allison and Trent for the time being. But yeah, Shaw spot and Silva spot, very, very high on the radar, as well as like Kamara. I might do a little formation change situation going on, but I mean,
but you're chilling. Your team's looking good.
My team's great. I mean, Shaw out is fairly nailed, I think. And removing Dilv before home Burnley feels really stupid. Like, that's just chasing points.
Especially
like,
before Kev is fit, he should just be nailed.
It's just like a cosmetic, like, chasing points for someone else because I'm, like, tired of Dilv blanking and not getting in the box and shooting. But it's not a good time to do that. So, I mean, my natural inclination is just I'm going to do Shaw out and roll my transfer again. I'll figure it out later.
Cool. Yeah. All right, let me go to the patron anus slaps, a new patron signups of the week. I missed Lewis Hurt Smith last week. Good friend, good guy on Slack. Sorry about that. My job is a bad job by me. After him, a bunch of new guys this week. Very happy to get in. A bunch of new Slackers. I haven't been around this week at all yet. I've been working my ass up, but I'm excited to get in there with you. We got Jake Kennedy, strong name right off the bat. Tommy Garmin, Matt Renner, Rennie. Eric Paul, Sam Dwy, Tommy Rogers, Michael Moisenberry, Sebastian Emanuelson, hockey goalie right there, Alistair Greener, grass is always Alistair, Paul Clarkey, Eric Steinem, but that's Eric spelled E-I-R-I-K, interesting spelling by your parents right there.
Scandinavian Eric.
Very Scandinavian of them, and yeah, that's it, a bunch of new guys, so thanks so much for signing up. New patrons of the week.
I feel like we get someone new and everyone just goes ham on them. They just get scared.
Oh, my God. We never hear from them again.
It's so aggressive. It's just so aggressive. Like, we have such
Is just immediately like, send your credit card details to NPass. Send a picture of your fucking sister to fucking Hugo. Like, everyone just goes ballistic on them immediately.
If they can
handle it though, they fucking hang.
Oh yeah, they hang hard. But it's just like you get dropped into a shark tank, and it's just like you get 10 DMs within 3 minutes, and it's just like, what is Slack? How do I like open the program? It's like, what's this weird symbol next to my name? Meanwhile, you're getting bombarded with just
bombarded. It's basically bombarded. Like just going to jail, and it's your first lunch. You just got the fucking mashed potatoes, peas, and like a piece of like unknown meat on your tray, and you're turning your head to just see Slack, and you're just like, what am I doing? Where am I going to sit? What the fuck is happening?
FMLFPL Slack, absolute maximum security penitentiary in upstate New York. It's exactly what it's like. It's just
exactly
on the internet.
It's like
exactly what it's like.
All right. Check us out at FMLPL.com. Follow us on Twitter at FMLPL Sports, Patreon.com/FMLPL. Subscribe, rate, review, and pause. Cheers.